الحمد لله وكفى. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وزاروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There are two parts to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first part is to increase our good deeds. And this is what we have been speaking to you about in the last few sessions, that a person adopts pious company, follow the sunnah, and make tawbah, and make remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then there is a question that why is it that sometimes we feel that we have this surge in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are not able to sustain it? Why is it that despite our good deeds, we are unable to have that feeling of closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the reason is because even though we are increasing in our pious actions, there is another, second part of our relationship with Allah, which is to leave sin. Whenever a person does any good deed, it has two effects. It has two things. It purifies our previous sins, and number two, it drives us closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you can have two people who are traveling on this journey. There can be one person who continues to do his sins. So he does good deeds, he fasts, and then that fast wipes away his sin. And then he again does a good deed, but then he follows that up with a bad deed. And hence, the good deeds are simply wiping away his bad deeds. He doesn't feel any difference. He doesn't feel that he's drawing closer to Allah or feeling Allah or gaining the proximity of Allah. And on the other hand, there's another person who doesn't sin. And when he does any good act, he is continually developing himself. He is drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the good deeds, they don't need to purify any of his sins. The good deeds are simply driving him closer and closer to Allah. And so in Ramadan, there is no greater source of barakah than the month of Ramadan. Because the month of Ramadan Allah has built into this month so many good deeds, so many things which are fueling the mercy of Allah into our hearts. They're fueling that barakah, blessings, new light into our heart. And hence, the number one thing that we should do is to avoid sin in this month. We'll understand this with an example, that if there's a person who's standing in the middle of a garbage dump and he empties a bottle of perfume on him, even if he empties the whole bottle, that stench of the garbage dump will still overpower that fragrance. Why? Because he's standing in the middle of the garbage. And on the other hand, if he stands in a clean place and he uses just a few drops of perfume, those few drops will be enough for him, will make him fragrant. Why? Because he's standing in a clean place. And similarly, if we avoid sin, then the smallest of good deeds will also make our hearts fragrant with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you can imagine if there's a shower and you have a bathtub, and you want to fill that bathtub with water, and you're pouring all, they have turned on all the faucets, the taps are on. And now imagine that the tank, the bathtub, has a hole at the bottom. And no matter how much water is coming inside that bathtub, it will not be able to stay there. We can never get the tank full. Why? Because we haven't plugged the drain. And similarly, our sins are like that hole. They're like that drain. They can suck away the barakah of our good deeds. So the number one thing in order to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually avoiding sins. Because what sins they do is they end up taking us exactly where we were before. They will anchor you down. You will do some sin, then you fast, then you do some sin, then again you fast. It's like a cycle. We're moving one step forward, one step back, one step forward, one step back. We don't go anywhere. And then a lot of times the young people just start asking questions. They begin to question the deen. That why am I not changing? Why am I not benefiting? And the answer is very simple, that yes, you're doing these great things in Islam, but you're not plugging the drain. You have ibadah, you have dua, you have zikr, all these faucets, all the tap is turned on, the shower is on, but you're not plugging the drain. And that's why it's very important that we sit and we try to analyze our life and see what are the things that we are doing which are disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sins, Allah says in Quran, this ayah which I recited at the beginning, wazaru zahir al-ismi wa batina, means that we should avoid all the sins that we are doing. Zahir, the ones that a person may do openly, externally, outwardly. And then batina, those sins that a person does inwardly, hiddenly. And Allah says that person should stay away from both kinds of sins. Again, sin is not what we think is bad, but sin, the definition of sin is when a person breaks any of the commandments of Allah, to violate the rules of Allah, to go against the hukum of Allah, or to break one of the established sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we all know the sins, right? There is zahiri, the outward apparent, for example, lying, cheating, eating pork, drinking alcohol. And then there's the internal inner sins, for example, malice for your fellow Muslim, envy, or the inability to control your gaze, unlawful desires. And Allah is saying that we have to avoid all of them. And we can understand this better with an example that sometimes a person might think that I'm not committing the big sins, but even the smallest sin is also a disobedience to Allah. And one scholar, Hafiz ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, used to say that, oh my friend, do not look at how small or big the sin is, but you should reflect at how great that being is against whom you are sinning. If you think about our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the might, the majesty of Allah, you cannot even consider the slightest of our sins to be trivial. It's hard to disobey our superiors, hard to disobey our boss, hard to disobey someone we love, and in the same way, it should be hard for us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have haya before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that should lead to repentance of all our sins. Ibn Atta, Ibn Abi Rabah, rahmatullah, he once told his students a very beautiful statement that when you sin, oh my son, when you sin, you close all the doors from which the creation can see you. You lock all the windows to hide your sin from everyone. You lock all the doors. You pull the blinds, you pull the curtains, you even delete the history of that sin, delete the cookies of that sin. You hide your sin from everyone, but you're unable to close the door through which the Creator can see you sinning. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to ask us on that day, that, oh my servant, you are so careful in concealing your sin from everyone. You pulled the blinds, you turned the lock, you deleted the history. You were so ashamed of your sin that you tried to bury it with all your possible efforts. You didn't want it to be unveiled in front of creation. But you did not have any shame in doing that sin in front of me. Do I have less value in your eyes than all of the creation? Among all of the creation of Allah, all of the creation, you hold me in the least. You hold me and value me the least. That if people, you don't want that the people should find out, but if Allah finds out, that is enough, that is okay. And then what defensible reply could be given to this question, to that being who gave us our life, all the blessings that we have in our life, except to be silent at that time? So sin is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to leave. And 100%, there are things like that that you want to have purity 100%. And the reason is because Jannah is a place of pure. It's a pure place. And Allah wants people who are pure to enter into that pure place. Imagine if a pilot was to say that we have checked the plane 97% and we're good to go. We'll say, no way. We want 100% surety. And you drink water, it says 100% pure. So there are a few things even in the dunya that we want 100% purity. And the same case here that Allah wants that a person should keep themselves 100% pure from sin. That's the target. And a lot of time what happens is that when a person sins, it leads to certain negative effects in that person's life. Sometimes a person has some onslaught of worries. Whenever we sin, there is some kind of negative consequence. We do zulm on ourselves. We are oppressing ourselves, bruising ourselves, and those effects, they can be felt in that person's life. So one effect is that it leads to an onslaught of worries in that person. Allah says that whenever وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, that whatever comes to you as a worry, as a musibah, it's something which your hands have earned. You yourself have earned this. Whenever there's this worry or anxiety, it's because of our action, something we did. And as a result, we are feeling that pain. Once there was a person who said that whenever I did any sin, I disobeyed Allah, I would notice that people who were under me, under my control, they would disobey me that day. Even so that sometimes my donkey on which I used to ride, that animal used to disobey me. So this happens. And there is another effect that it also leads to a restlessness in that person's heart. The Prophet ﷺ said that when a person sins, a believer, a black spot forms on their heart. And if he leaves that sin, repents to Allah, then that spot is wiped out. But if he commits that sin again, the black spot keeps on increasing till it covers the whole heart. And that's what Allah mentions in the Quran, that a stain comes over their heart because of their actions. There's a facade, and when you have that stain, then there'll be restlessness in that heart. We have worry, emptiness, a vacuum. A person can have a lot of the dunya, but they will feel an emptiness from inside. And sometimes you can see that emptiness even on their face. And on the contrary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the only way to get tranquility and peace of the heart is with the remembrance of Allah. Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. And then even in our worldly risk and our life, we feel the lack, we feel the effect of that sin. Our risk and sustenance goes down as a result. And then people, as you know, people are older, they experience this more. They complain about their financial problems and they say that we're earning this much salary, but it's not sufficient for us. And the reason is because of lack of barakah. And this lack of barakah because of sins. Allah says in Quran also that if a person truly kept away from the sins, then we might have opened the doors of blessings for that person. Walau anna ahl al qura amanu wa taqaw, that if only these people of the cities had believed and feared Allah, left the sins, then la fatahna alayhim barakatim min as-samaa'i wal ard, we would have opened the doors of blessings, multiple blessings from the heavens, from the skies and the earth. And that's what the Sahaba, the early Muslims, had. They would get rizq and barakah from ghayb, from unseen. Allah would provide for them. Allah would bless them, would give them contentment and solace and peace in their heart. And then sometimes when a person has this stain on their heart, the heart does not incline towards good deeds. Such a person may find it difficult to hear or talk about deen, or to do something in deen, to pray or to make dua, or coming to Jummah becomes difficult, praying five times becomes difficult. Even the small good deeds that a person is doing, they don't feel pleasure in it. Why? Because a person has sickness in the heart, there's some impurity. Just like in the dunya, when a person falls sick, right? They don't feel that lazza, that pleasure of food. So that lazza or the sweetness of iman and good deeds, that is taken away from that person. So we have to leave sins. We have to purify ourselves of sins. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah, that وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِسْمِ وَبَاطِنَ, that avoid all the zahiri and the batani sins. And now, how does the person do this? For that, first we need to say that a spade is a spade. We cannot redefine the definition of a sin. That's another problem, especially with all the intellectual ideologies that are out there. Secularism and liberalism, atheism, agnosticism. The real of these four things actually has to do with our nafs, not with the sin. They try to glorify a way for a person to indulge in that sin. And they will try to change the definition of sin. And when a person changes the definition of sin, then we allow ourselves to do that sin. And then what happens is that a person spiritually dies. So we should go back and understand that sin is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a displeasure. It's something which is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this can only happen when we start with that sincere intention that I won't make any justification for my sin. If I sin, it's a sin. I won't make any rationalization. I won't try to identify any philosophical basis. I'll simply call my sin a sin. That's the first step, just to acknowledge. And this is something which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the prophets of Allah, all of them alayhi salatu wasalam, that was their sunnah. That any slightest of mistake, they would immediately make dua to Allah and admit of their mistakes. For example, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Even though actually that wasn't even a sin, it was a slight mistake, an error in judgment. But they immediately accepted that and acknowledged it. That, oh, our Rabb, zalamna anfusana, we have wronged ourselves. And on the other hand, Shaitan, he refused to acknowledge that he did anything wrong. He was issued with a direct command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that state that he was looking at Allah, not that he was a semi-believer. He was not an atheist or agnostic. He could see Allah, he could hear the command directly from Allah, and he still did not do it. We cannot even imagine that. Me and you, when we sin, we break the command of Allah, but we can't see Allah or we can't directly hear Allah. Shaitan saw Allah, heard Allah, and then disobeyed Allah. And even after that, he's still pretending that he hasn't done anything wrong. He's giving justifications and rationalization. So it means that we should accepting and acknowledging a sin, that's the attribute of the Anbiya, of the Prophets of Allah. So it's human to sin. It's nothing, right? That part is human. Every person, they're prone to make mistakes. They can fall prey to their nafs or to the whisperings of shaitan. So it's human to sin, and people love to say that it's human to error, but we don't have the whole story. It's human to sin, but it's also human to make tawbah for that sin. It's human to avoid that sin. It's human to leave that sin. So we cannot just simply end at that sentence, I'm human, therefore I sin. It's also human to turn back to Allah, to repent of each and every sin that we have done. And then the question comes that how can a person leave sin altogether? Right? So leaving sin, we did this last time about tawbah, that a person makes a pledge that I won't want to commit that sin again in the future. But the question is that how do I leave that sin? And there are some sins that, you know, all of us might be struggling with, and people will have different battles to fight. So how practically can I leave sins and do amal on this ayat of the Quran, that wadharu zahir al-ismi wa batina, that avoid every sin? So we'll leave you with two things. First is that we should attack sins one by one. Many people say that it's very difficult to leave all the sins altogether. So what we have is that you have to take on one sin at a time. And you should try to identify one or a few, some sins, but then you'll try to leave them all together, completely. As opposed to what we normally do is that we identify all the sins that we are doing, but we leave them partially. So when you identify all the sins and you leave them partially, you end up still doing all of those sins partially. So a better approach is that we home in, zero in on some particular sins, target some sins in your life, even if it's an easy sin. You think it's easy for you to leave it. If it was easy, you would have left it already. It's not that easy. Or whichever you think you have a better chance of leaving. And then just pick that and just work on that. And just finish that sin once and for all from your life. Finish, use the power of this month of Ramadan and finish that one sin. Finish it entirely, completely, absolutely. And once you, even if you're able to succeed in doing that for one or two sins in your life, you will get some confidence. You will realize that this is something I can do. I can actually leave sin if I put that effort, if I put my mind and heart to it. Then you can take on a few more sins. And once you leave them, then take on a few more sins. So don't let yourself despair at the sins that you may still be doing. Leave as many as you can. And this is a big mistake and a deception of shaitan, that most young people, what they do is that they try to leave all the sins, but they're not able to leave all the sins, and still they're doing some of those sins, they become despaired, they're depressed, and they let themselves fall into all of the sins again. So don't let yourself slide into a sinful life because of a few sins that you're doing, right? You have to fight that good fight. So first is just pick one and work on that and try to erase that completely, entirely from your life in this month of Ramadan. And the second principle is that whenever we sin, we should immediately follow it up with a good deed. Every time we slip, we should follow it up with some good deed. So you make a sin, you then make some good deed, right? And what we do is sometimes the exact opposite. If we happen to fall into sin, we miss our fajr, we miss our prayer. Rather, immediately right there and then we should prepare and make some rak'ah, make some prayer, salah. And many times we give the example of a boxer in a ring. The coach in the boxer's corner, he never gets upset if the fighter is knocked down. But if he gets upset if the fighter doesn't get back up again to fight the good fight. And that's what we have to do. The second you fall into sin, just have to pop right back up again. Don't delay. But immediately follow that sin with some good deed. Immediately. No matter how embarrassed, how shameful you might feel, this is the way out of that sin. This is the true response of that sadness and shame. To follow that up with a good deed. And then after that, good deed, make dua again to Allah that, oh Allah, ya Allah, I'm weak. You know how weak I am, and you have just seen how weak I am. You have just seen how my weakness can lead me to the most repugnant and vulgar of acts. But ya Allah, I still have not given up on you. I'm not because I look at my own strength, but because, ya Allah, I'm looking at your mercy. Looking at your mercy even in the face of my sins. Looking at your mercy prevents me from giving up. And I present myself again to you. And that's what really Allah Ta'ala wants. He wants that we turn to him when we are downtrodden. That we turn to him right after that sin. Because at that time he is At-Tawwab. He is turning to us. And he is turning to us in the most maximal of ways. Right? Allah tells the angels at that time that don't, people who respond, the angels are responsible for writing the sin, that don't write it down as yet. Maybe this person, my servant, will turn back to me in repentance and ask me to forgive him or her for their sin. So Allah is waiting in repentance, right? So that's actually a moment to turn right back to Allah right there, right now. Or refresh, just like when your phone signal is down, you try to reconnect. When your web page is down, you refresh, refresh, refresh. Just like that, when your spiritual signal is down, you should immediately hit the refresh button. And you should immediately recharge your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with some good deed. And at that time, one thing that we can do, one good deed that we can do is to make dua. And in this month of Ramadan, you should be making dua to Allah. But I'll tell you something very special about this. Some people, they ask that we make a lot of dua, but our duas are not accepted. We should not trust our ability to leave sin. Rather, at that time, we should look at the power, the kudrat of Allah to take us out. And for that, we should make dua. So like I said, that some, even students, many times they say that we are in difficulties, our dua, we make dua, but dua is not accepted. Even religious people, the ulama, the scholars, they also have the same, they even say that there are obstacles and difficulties, please make dua. We have been making dua for a long period of time, but we don't see the signs of the acceptance of that dua. So I'll share with you something, which is actually hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which we learn from our own teachers, from our own mashayikh, that at such times, there's a secret for the acceptance of du'as, which we want to teach you. And if you practice that, inshallah, you will no longer need to even search for the Ism-e Azam or the greatest name. You will see this, how, with your own eyes, right? And this has been experienced not 100 times, but thousands of times. The du'as are accepted because of this one action. That action is very small, but the result is very great. And if only we can understand the reality of this action today. So this is the method for the acceptance of du'as, right? The du'as of the pious people are accepted. It's not because they're made out of gold or they're superhuman creation, right? They're also human beings. The difference is that they've removed the intention of sin from their hearts. And they've handed themselves completely over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're also asking that same Allah like we ask. They're bowing down before that same door. Right? They're also crying before Allah with that same cry. So the secret for the acceptance of du'as that we have learned from our elders and teachers and experienced multiple times. Again, it might seem very small to you, but it's sometimes, you know, a simple word is enough. And a person can find relief in a simple dose of medicine. So listen to this very carefully and then try it out yourself. That whenever a time comes in life when you have the opportunity to sin and you refrain due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that very second, at that very moment, make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your dua at that very moment. The Prophet ﷺ has taught us in hadith that whenever a believer is given the opportunity to sin and they don't sin, so forget the whole war. They win one little battle. they don't sin at that particular moment out of the fear of Allah, and then at that moment Allah Ta'ala accepts any and all du'as that they make. So let's say you're walking somewhere, you had the opportunity to see someone, and at that moment, instead of sort of increasing the speed of your walking and sort of overtaking that person, looking who that person is, and then sometimes getting disappointed and even smiling at yourself that this was not even something to look at. No, next time when you're walking and you happen to see someone, that's an opportunity. It's an easy, quite easy opportunity to do amal on this. You can think that, oh Allah, that it makes no difference to me. I'm not going to look back. Maybe it was what I thought. Maybe it wasn't what I thought. Makes no difference. It's nothing to do with me. That's not why you gave me my life. And at that moment, you should make dua when you're successful. Not in an arrogant way, but in a humble way, you present that amal to Allah. That, ya Allah, okay, I actually managed for once in my life to save myself from this minute little sin of looking at something which I shouldn't look at. And Allah, your beloved Nabi al-Islam said that you will accept my dua at this moment. Allah, I did a little bit of effort, and now Allah, I ask you, you give me the complete result. I ask that you enable me to stay away from all the unlawful desires for my whole life. Make dua at that moment. You don't even, you know, Allah Ta'ala loves it when you make dua to him. His mercy comes in full force when you make dua to him. And this is the beauty and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when we do small actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's full mercy will come on you. There's no other being like that. Even for one another, when you do something small, you know, if you do something small for me, I feel small love for you. You do something big for me, I feel big love for you. Allahu Akbar. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do the smallest of the smallest of the smallest of things for him. But you turn to him after you do it, and he gives you the fullest and the fullest of his mercy and love. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Arhamur Rahimin. So try in the smallest of way to leave sin, but then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the fullest extent of your heart. We don't need Laylatul Qadr for our du'as to be accepted. We can have moments of Laylatul Qadr multiple times during every day. That's the power of this. That's the power of avoiding sin. The power to stay away from sin is actually a power that Allah has given to us, which is based on his immense and incredible mercy. So I'll give you a story. Once Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he had a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he asked that, oh Allah, that who gets your special mercy? How do you respond when your believers, they're called you? And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he asked that, oh ya Allah, that when an obedient servant calls you, how do you reply? And qala akulu labbaik. Allah replied that I say labbaik, then marhaba, welcome. Then he asked that what if a zahid person, zahid calls you, how do you respond to him? Zahid means that person who has turned away from the pleasures of this dunya. Any person who is pious in that sense. So he asked this question that how do you respond when a zahid calls to you? And Allah replies that I say to him, same thing, qala akulu labbaik, that labbaik, welcome, marhaba, I'm here for you. And he asked that, oh Allah, how do you reply to that person who is a sa'im, a rozedar, a person who fasts? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied in the same way, qala akulu labbaik, that I say that, oh my servant, you called me, what is it that you want? I'm here for you, ask and I'll accept. And then finally, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked, that, oh Allah, when a sinner calls upon you, when a sinner calls upon you, how do you reply to that person's call? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, qala akul, he said, Labbaik, Labbaik, Labbaik. Three times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala welcomes the call of a sinner. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam that Musa said, when that obedient person calls upon me, he is calling me, but he is looking at his actions, at his obedience. When the zahid calls upon me, he is looking at his zuhud, at his piety. When the rozedar, the sa'im, the fasting person calls me, he is also looking at his fast. But when this sinner, he calls me, he has no actions. He's not looking at any of his actions. He is just looking at my mercy. And O Musa, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever relies on my mercy, whoever relies on me, I am sufficient for that person. So I'm so happy that I say, Labbaik, Labbaik, Labbaik. I welcome this person thrice. And there are three things that come in a hadith that if a person does these three things, they will get the special help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Special madad and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three things, they get this special assistance. First is that a person makes niyat to build a masjid and Allah will help them with this special assistance. And second is that there is a poor person and you help that person to marry their daughter off. So when you make that intention to help them with their marriage of their daughter, Allah will get a special help and make that whole process easy. And the third thing which is mentioned is that when a young person makes a pure irada to leave all sin, just intention, doesn't have the action as yet, only makes an irada, intention to leave all sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers that person with a special help and mercy. Allah makes it easy for that person to leave sin. So such a person, only because of his intention, they get that, they become the recipients of the rahmat of Allah. So what that means is that if nothing else, we can begin our journey of leaving sin with intention. We can begin our journey of leaving sin with a niyat today. That, oh Allah, ya Allah, this is the month of Ramadan. Allah, you are Ar-Rahman. Ya Allah, I also make intention to leave each and every sin of my life. I also want to practice your words of the Quran. وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِسْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. I also want to leave every last drop of my sin. Leave all my external sins. I want to leave all my inner sins. I also want that my heart is purified from all the sinful emotions and desires. I also wish and want and desire that my mind should be purified from all the sinful longings and yearnings and thoughts. And ya Allah, I have no actions that I can present to you. I have no strength that I can present to you. I have no worship that I can present to you. But on this day of Ramadan, ya Allah, you are Rahman. I present to you just this, my intention, my niyat. Allah, I'm presenting to you just my intention. I ask you that Allah, you accept this intention of mine, this irada, this niyat of mine, and Allah, I ask you that you make me also one of the people who is able to lead a life that is completely free of sin. The scholars have said that ulama have written that there is a person who spends one day free from sin. It's as if that person spent that day in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to spend a life that is free from sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله. سبحان ربي العلي الوهاب، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك. اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. يا رب كريم، يا الله ہم آپ کے عاجز مسکین سے بندے ہیں، اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. یا رب کریم ہم نے تمام گناہوں سے توبہ کرتے ہیں، اللہ ہماری توبہ کو قبول فرما. اللہ جو گناہ یاد ہے ان کو معاف فرما، جو کر کے بھول گئے ان کو معاف فرما. یا رب کریم جو گناہ دن میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما، راتوں میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما. اللہ جو محفلوں میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما، جو تنہائیوں میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما. اللہ جو گناہ ہم نے آنکھوں سے کیے معاف فرما، زبان سے کیے معاف فرما، کانوں سے کیے معاف فرما، ہاتھ پیروں سے کیے ان کو معاف فرما. اللہ جو گناہ ہم نے دل کے ارادوں میں کیے ان کو معاف فرما. اللہ جو ہم نے گناہ اپنے رقم خیالات میں کیے ان کو معاف فرما. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ہماری توبہ کو قبول فرما، توبہ کو کامل بنا، اللہ توبہ کو مکمل فرما. اللہ ہماری نگاہوں کو پاک فرما، ہمارے سینوں کو صاف فرما. اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو اپنی محبت سے لبریز فرما. یا رب کریم اللہ گناہوں کی وجہ سے جو ظلمت ہے اس کو دور فرما، جو پریشانی ہے ہماری زندگی میں اللہ ان پریشانیوں کو، مصیبتوں کو دور فرما، اس بے چینی کو ختم فرما. اللہ دل کی سختی کو دور فرما. اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو نرما دیجئے، ہمارے دلوں کو ذاکر بنا دیجئے، ہمارے دلوں کو منور فرما دیجئے. اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو اپنی محبت سے لبریز فرما دیجئے. اللہ گناہوں کی ہمیں کراہت نصیب فرما، اللہ گناہوں کی ہمیں کراہت نصیب فرما. اللہ نیکی کا شوق عطا فرما، ہمیں اطاعت کی عزت نصیب فرما، معصیت اور گناہوں کی ذلت سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ اپنی رحمت سے ہمیں گناہوں سے بچا لیجئے. اللہ ہمارا گناہوں سے بچنا مشکل ہے، اللہ ہم اپنے آپ کو آپ کی حفاظت میں دیتے ہیں. اللہ ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے، ہماری آنکھوں کی حفاظت فرما. اللہ ہماری آنکھوں کے اندر شہوت کو دور فرما، ہمیں آنکھوں میں حیا نصیب فرما. اللہ آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی مبارک آنکھوں میں جو حیا تھی، اللہ ہمیں بھی وہ حیا نصیب فرما. ہمیں چہرے پہ حیا نصیب فرما، دل میں حیا نصیب فرما. اللہ اپنی سوچ اور خیالات میں حیا والا بنا. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ اگر ہمارے اندر غصہ ہے، اللہ اس غصے کو اللہ حلم سے بدل دیجئے. ہمیں بردباری تحمل مزاجی عطا فرما، درگزر اور معافی کی صفت عطا فرما. اللہ ہمارے اندر کنجوسی ہے، اللہ اس کو دور فرما کہ ہمارے اندر سخاوت عطا فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم ہمارے اندر اگر عجب ہے، کینہ ہے، اللہ ہمارے اندر تمام بیماریوں کو دور فرما. اللہ ہمیں تکبر کو دور فرما. اللہ ہمیں توازو نصیب فرما، عاجزی نصیب فرما، انکساری نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم اور لوگوں کے بارے میں خیر خواہی والا جذبہ نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم ہماری دعاؤں کو اپنی رحمتوں سے قبول فرما. اللہ دل کے اندر جو شک شبہات ان کو دور فرما، دین کے بارے میں شک شبہات ان کو دور فرما، کامل شرع صدر نصیب فرما. اللہ ایک ایک حکم پہ، اللہ ایک ایک دین کے معاملے میں بات پہ، یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ہماری طبیعت کو شرع صدر نصیب فرما، یقین کی نعمت عطا فرما، علم الیقین، عین الیقین، حق الیقین عطا فرما. یا رب کریم اللہ جو شریعت کا مزاج ہے اسی کو ہماری طبیعت کا مزاج بنا دیجئے. یا رب کریم گناہوں کی لذت کو ہمارے دلوں سے نکال دیجئے. اللہ عبادت کی لذت عطا فرما، قرآن کا پڑھنے کی لذت نصیب فرما، سجدے کا سرور عطا فرما. اللہ دعاؤں مانگنے کی لذت نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم اپنے عشق کی آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما. اللہ ہمارے انگ انگ سے اپنے ذکر کو جاری فرما، روئے روئے سے اپنے ذکر کو جاری فرما، ہڈی ہڈی، بوٹی بوٹی میں اپنی محبت نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم ہمارے ساتھ نرمی والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے. اللہ ہم نے گناہوں کا اقرار کرتے ہیں، یا رب کریم دنیا میں دیکھا جو اقراری مجرم ہوتے ہیں ان کے ساتھ لوگ نرمی والا معاملہ فرما دیتے ہیں. اللہ ہم بھی اقراری مجرم ہیں. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ہم پہ نرمی والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے. आपको नरमी पसंद है, अल्लाह आप हमें भी नरमी का हुक्म देते हैं, अल्लाह आप भी अपनी पसंदीदा सिफत नरमी के साथ हमारे साथ मामला फरमा दीजिए। आपने मूसा अलैहिस्सलाम और हारून अलैहिस्सलाम को फिरौन की तरफ भेजा और फरमाया कि उससे बात करना तो नरमी से बात करना। अल्लाह वो फिरौन जो अना रब्बुकुमुल आला का दावा करता था, रब होने का दावा करता था, अल्लाह आप फरमाते हैं कि उससे नरमी से बात करना। अल्लाह यहाँ जितने लोग मौजूद हैं, अल्लाह दिन के अंदर कितनी दफ़ा हम सजदे में सुबहान रब्बी अल आला की गवाहियां देते हैं, या रब करीम हमारे साथ भी नरमी वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह माफी वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए, हमारे गुनाहों को माफ फरमा दीजिए, अपनी रहमत से हमारे गुनाहों को नेकियों से बदल दीजिए, या रब करीम या अल्लाह रहमतों वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमारी इन दुआओं को अपनी रहमतों से कबूल फरमा। अल्लाह हम गुनाह खुद नहीं करना चाहते, हमारा नफ्स हमारा है, शैतान हमारे पीछे पड़ा है, अल्लाह नफ्स को नफ्स मुतमाइन्ना बना दीजिए, शैतान से पीछा छुड़ा दीजिए। अल्लाह कुछ आपके ऐसे बंदे हैं, आप कुरान में फरमाते हैं कि शैतान का कुछ बिगाड़ नहीं सकता, या रब्बे करीम हमें भी अपने ऐसे बंदों में शामिल फरमा दीजिए, हमें भी अपनी ऐसी हिफाजत अता फरमा दीजिए। सैयदना उमर रदी अल्लाह अन, अल्लाह आपके प्यारे महबूब सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम ने फरमाया कि वो एक रास्ता लेते थे, शैतान दूसरे रास्ते पे भागता था। अल्लाह हमें भी ऐसा बना दीजिए, हमें भी अपनी ऐसी हिफाजत अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें भी अपने प्यारे अम्बिया अलैहिस्सलाम और सिद्दीकीन शुहदाए सालेहीन उनके नक्शे कदम पे चलने की तौफीक नसीब फरमा। या रब्बे करीम आपके जो नेक बंदे होते हैं अल्लाह, वो तो रमजान में आपके सामने नेकियां लेके आते हैं, अल्लाह कोई अपनी इबादत लेके आएगा, अल्लाह कोई अपना रोजा लेके आता है, अल्लाह कोई अपना जिक्र लेके आता है, कोई अपनी दुआएं और तहज्जुद लेके आते हैं। या रब्बे करीम या अल्लाह, अल्लाह हम वो बंदे हैं, अल्लाह हमारे पास कोई नेकियां नहीं, अल्लाह हमारे पास तो गुनाहों के सिवा और कुछ नहीं, या रब्बे करीम रहमतों वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हम आपके सामने आते हैं, अल्लाह सिर्फ आपकी रहमत को देखते हैं, अल्लाह हम हमें ना देखिए, अल्लाह हमारे अमलों की बात नहीं है, अल्लाह आपकी रहमत की बात है, अल्लाह आपकी रहमत की बात है, अल्लाह मेहरबानी फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम हमें रहमतों से अता फरमा दीजिए, आपकी रहमत की उम्मीद पे आते हैं, रहमत का सहारा लेके आते हैं। अल्लाह आप ही ने तो फरमाया अना आइंदा जन्नी अब्दी भी, कि मैं अपने बंदों के साथ उनके गुमान के मुताबिक फैसला करता हूँ। अल्लाह हम आपके बारे में आपकी रहमत का गुमान लेके आते हैं, या रब्बे करीम और रहमत वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह मगफरत की नज़र फरमा दीजिए, एक मोहब्बत की नज़र फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह एक रहमत की नज़र हमें भी दे दीजिए, अल्लाह एक रहमत की नीम नज़र हमें भी अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम आप तो 70 माओं से भी ज्यादा रहीम हैं, करीम हैं, अल्लाह एक रहमत वाली नज़र हमें भी अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम मेहरबानी फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह जो मांगा वो भी कबूल फरमा, अल्लाह जो मांगना चाहिए था नहीं मांग सके, अल्लाह वो भी अता फरमा, अल्लाह अपनी शान करीमी के मुताबिक अता फरमा। या रब्बे करीम जब जाने का वक्त है अल्लाह हमें अपनी रजा नसीब फरमा, हमें अपनी लिका नसीब फरमा। या रब्बे करीम हमें दुनिया के अंदर अपना कुर्ब नसीब फरमा, अल्लाह अपने उशाक की आशिकीन की सफात अता फरमा, अपने चाहने वालों की सफात अता फरमा, अल्लाह अपने प्यारे मोहब्बत करने वाले औलियार दोस्तों की सिफात अता फरमा, अल्लाह अपने प्यारे मुत्तकीन मोहसिनीन की सिफात अता फरमा, साबिरीन और शाकिरीन बंदों की सिफात अता फरमा, अल्लाह कानितीन और जाकिरीन बंदों की सिफात अता फरमा। या रब्बे करीम जो सिफात आपको पसंद है अल्लाह हमें भी अता फरमा दीजिए, हमें भी मुजयन फरमा दीजिए, हमें ऐसा बना दीजिए कि अल्लाह आपको पसंद आ जाए। अल्लाह हम खुद तो ना बन सके, अल्लाह अपने आप को आपके सामने पेश करते हैं, अल्लाह आप कबूल फरमा लीजिए, सर के बालों से लेके पैर के नाखूनों तक, जाहिर से लेके बातिन की गहराइयों तक अल्लाह ऐसा बना दीजिए कि अल्लाह आपको पसंद आ जाए, अल्लाह आप हमें कबूल फरमा लीजिए। अल्लाह फितनों का जमाना है, अल्लाह हर किस्म के फितनों से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा लीजिए, हमारी ईमान की हिफाजत फरमा, जान माल इज्जतों की हिफाजत फरमा, अल्लाह हमारी भी हिफाजत फरमा, घर वालों की भी हिफाजत फरमा, अल्लाह हमारी औलादों की हिफाजत फरमा। और दुनिया में देखा है कि छोटा बच्चा होता है, उसके पास कोई कीमती चीज आ जाए, खुद हिफाजत नहीं कर पाता, अपने अब्बू के पास रखवाता है, कहता है मैं खुद तो नहीं कर सकता हिफाजत, आप मेरे लिए इसकी हिफाजत कर लें। या रब्बे करीम आपने जितनी नेमतें दी हैं उनमें सबसे कीमती नेमत ये कलमा है, ये ईमान है। या रब्बे करीम हम इसकी हिफाजत नहीं कर सकते, अल्लाह दज्जाल का दौर करीब है, शैतान लगा हुआ है, नफ्स हमारा मोटा हो चुका है, कुर्बे क्यामत का जमाना है। या रब्बे करीम तरह तरह के फितने हैं, मुसलमान उम्मत के अंदर भी हैं,
बाहर से भी फितने हैं, या रब्बे करीम इस दौर के अंदर हमारी ईमान की हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह हम इस ईमान को आपके पास सुपुर्द करते हैं इमानत के तौर पे। अल्लाह जब दुनिया से रुखसत होने का वक्त आए, अल्लाह कलमे पे मौत नसीब फरमा, ईमान पे मौत नसीब फरमा। कल अल्लाह कयामत के दिन ईमान की हालत में उठाए जाने की तौफीक नसीब फरमा। या रब्बे करीम अपनी रहमत से हमारा खात्मा बिल ईमान, खात्मा बिल खैर फरमा। अल्लाह जो मांगा है वो भी नसीब फरमा। अल्लाह जो मांगना चाहिए था नहीं मांग सके, रब्बे करीम अपनी रहमत से कबूल फरमा, रहमत से अता फरमा। हम अपने आप को आपके सुपुर्द करते हैं। अल्लाह में दीन के लिए कबूल फरमा लीजिए, दीन की खिदमत पे लगा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह इल्म के बाद जहालत से बचा लीजिए, सीधा रास्ता मिलने के बाद भटकने से बचा लीजिए। अल्लाह अपना कुर्ब मिलने के बाद दूरी से बचा लीजिए। अल्लाह इज्जतों के बाद जिल्लत से बचा लीजिए। या रब्बे करीम हिदायत के बाद गुमराही से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। रब्बना तकब्बल मिन्ना इन्नका अंतस समीउल अलीम, व तुब अलैना इन्नका अंतत तवाबुर रहीम। व सल्लल्लाहु तआला अला हबीबिही खैर खल्किही मुहम्मदिन व अला आलिही व सहबिही अजमाईन बिरहमतिका या अरहमर राहिमीन।